schedule release day is tomorrow. I don't know about you, Mac, but I am kind of surprised. We have not seen many leaks of the schedule. You know, there haven't been many leaks like there normally are. They're kind of keeping this one a little bit closer to the vest, I think. And maybe they just don't even really know what it is yet, because as of yesterday morning, they didn't have a site determined for Chiefs and Broncos. And then by the time the afternoon rolled around,
yes,
the site showed up for the Chiefs and Broncos. So it's interesting to see how close, but yet how they're not quite finished yet. And they're chasing this deadline of Thursday to get that schedule out.
Thursday, we will know when, where, all the things about the Chiefs schedule. We do have international announcements.
Yep.
Adam Schefter posting a lot about all the international games right now, which we already know where all of them being played, so he's just kind of doing it to
do it,
I guess.
But now you know the opponents, because we're not in an international game.
No, we are not, but I think we already knew the opponents. At least I had it yesterday. At least they had released
yesterday. You're talking about. Okay.
And so now Schefter coming out with it. Saints Steelers in Paris.
Ooh, that's cool.
Yes.
The Saints going to Paris. I love that.
Saints Steelers in Paris. How about Colts and Commanders in London? We knew that. Yeah. Vikings 49ers in Mexico City. Patriots versus the Lions in Germany.
Okay, that's cool.
That's a fun one.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah, and then I've got all the other ones here, right here, the international sites.
You think Vrabel will pick up when he's over there?
Depends on who's calling. Madrid, Cincinnati, and Atlanta.
Wait, say that again. Cincinnati and Atlanta. That's the one I thought we would get against the Falcons.
Yes, against the Falcons.
Madrid,
it'll be Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I said the Mexico. We said the Munich, Paris. Yeah, and the rest is London.
Yeah, so we're not getting an international game this year. I'm sure we're probably going to get a Christmas Day game.
Oh, you got the Ravens and Cowboys, my mistake, in Rio de Janeiro.
Okay, the Brazil game. Yeah.
In Brazil, yep.
So we'll probably have a Christmas Day game or something like that, you know, as we normally do. I think that's kind of been our home lately, you know, playing on Christmas Day. Maybe we will, maybe we don't. But the international stuff, I guess, just kind of give the Chiefs a year off, maybe?
I'm great with that.
Yeah.
I'm great with that. I mean, we'll see what happens. I know that we yesterday in our staff meeting, we had a sales guy who mentioned the fact that, you know, Thanksgiving could be a possibility again, too, from what he's hearing. So we'll see if Thanksgiving is going to be a thing yet again for the Chiefs. And maybe that becomes a regular occurrence.
Maybe.
And that's something that we can kind of plan around every year. Okay, Thanksgiving, we're going to do our time at 2, because we know at 7 p.m. every Thanksgiving, it's going to be the Chiefs.
No, we played on Thanksgiving last year,
we did,
too. Yeah,
and it might become a regular occurrence. That may be the thing.
Well, it's not going to be against Dallas.
Nope.
It's not going to be against, you know, have they released the Lions? Or do we play the Lions this year?
I don't know. I can't remember if we play the Lions.
Yeah, I don't think that we do this year. So do we don't play the NFC North this year. No Lions, right?
No Lions.
Okay, so it won't be in Detroit. It won't be in Dallas. We know that.
It'll be their standalone game at night.
Yeah,
it could be.
If it happens, could be here or could be, you know, whoever they decide to play. But I thought they announced the night game for Thanksgiving. Whatever.
Yeah, no international game. I'll take it.
Right. We'll figure
Thank
it out
you.
Once the schedule comes along. I don't know if this is a coincidence or if this is something that they had planned. But after the column that came out with the guy who left Ole Miss and went to LSU, your guy Lane Kiffin, just destroying Ole Miss, you know, really getting to places where he probably shouldn't go.
Seriously.
They announced the time that they're going to play LSU. LSU at Ole Miss, September 19th will kick off 6:30 on ABC. Like, all of a sudden, that becomes
that I'm hard.
Like a, not that it wasn't a must-watch game with Lane going back to Ole Miss.
So ready.
But after this interview in Vanity Fair, we said players didn't want to go there because it was the South and all this kind of stuff. Like, really took shots at Ole Miss on his kind of way out the door. It's going to be interesting to see how he is received back there in wherever they play their games. But it's going to be very interesting to see how he is received once he goes back there, because he did not leave, as they say, in a nice way. He burned every bridge on the way, I believe it seemed like anyway, out of town. So coming up, Matt Quatrero will join us in about an hour here on 96.5. The Fan will talk a little bit about what's going to happen with this baseball team. But the strength of schedule, we talked a little bit about yesterday.
Yes.
And we wanted to get kind of more into this about, you know, where the Chiefs' strength of schedule ranks, because they're a top five when it comes to toughest schedules in the NFL, and we're judging it based on a season last year, which we do every year, but we're basing it on teams that lose about 30% of their roster. And so when you look at the toughest schedules going into this NFL season, the Chiefs are right up there. But are they really right up there?
Exactly.
In the top five? I don't know.
That's not an accurate way to actually look at strength of schedule. And I was trying to remember over the past few years what I have done to really evaluate, okay, how tough is the schedule? And Warren Sharp, among others, do it the right way. And that's based on projected win totals. Because
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, because Vegas is accounting for the new team. They know that Kyler Murray's in Minnesota. They know what happened last year. It also accounts for luck. Because when you go off of last year's strength of schedule, you're taking into account all the turnovers that happened or all the dropped picks that a team got. When we know, we saw us 2 years ago, the Chiefs won every one possession game they were in. What happened the next year?
Right.
They lost every one possession game they were in. The luck can turn like a seesaw really, really quick. And so that takes it all out. When you look at projected win totals, it kind of creates an even amount of luck for each team. So it doesn't take into account that past record and just looking at, okay, what is this team's projected win total? And looking at all their and looking at their schedule that way. If you look at it that way, the Chiefs actually have the 10th easiest schedule. So when you look at it, you're like, oh, okay, this is actually going to be as bad. You look at 10 through about 21, pretty close as far as projected win totals and strength of schedule. But
Chiefs have the easiest schedule in the division, too.
Yes.
They have the easiest schedule at 10. Broncos are at 11. Raiders are at 19. Chargers are at 21.
Yeah, exactly. The Lions there with the easiest. The Saints with the second easiest. It sucks over there. Down there at the bottom, you've got the Cardinals, the Dolphins, by like a wide margin of 32 and 31. The toughest schedules in the league. Those are the two worst teams in the league.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, but, you know, because the teams that are going to play them probably get on the easier side of the schedule as well, because you've got the Dolphins who are projected to be a winless team. The Cardinals are projected to be a winless team. And so when you're the 49ers and you get to play them twice a year, or you're, you know, whoever else, you know, in the AFC East, the Miami, not the Miami Dolphins, obviously, but, you know, let's say the New England Patriots, you get to play them twice a year. I'm not willing to say the Jets can beat the Dolphins.
So that'll make
times.
Your schedule that much easier.
Makes your
as
schedule
well.
That much yes. easier. Yeah. Right. That's why when you look at it, you go, how can the Chiefs have an easier schedule than the Raiders? Well, the Raiders have to play the Chiefs twice, and the Chiefs get to play the Raiders twice. And so, by that standpoint, the Raiders' schedule becomes tougher, and the Chiefs' schedule becomes easier.
A little easier.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly, based on those win totals. So I think when we talk about strength of schedule, this is the way to do it.
I love this. This is brilliant. This is a great idea by Warren Sharp, man.
It really is.
I'm in on this. This is cool. I'd never seen this before. I'd never seen anybody do this. We all just, as we always do, just follow blindly. Oh, based on last year's strength of schedule. And then Max says to me yesterday, he goes, Bob, you say all the time, 30% of a roster turns over every year. How can we do this?
Yeah,
I'm like, you're right.
Exactly.
And then Warren Sharp has this one where it's based on Vegas win totals this year. And I like that better. I do.
Yeah, you know, to get into the nerdisms of it, from 2010 to 2018, only 5.7% of a team's actual strength of schedule was explained by opponents' prior year records. So you can't tell a lot from a schedule, a lot from what your team's going to face that upcoming season. Based on last year, so much changes. If we knew how tough a team was going to be, or how great a team was going to be, or how tough a schedule was going to be based on last year, sports wouldn't be as fun, would they?
Right.
Right? Like, a lot of it is the unknown.
It
and
is
so
the unknown.
We have to take what into account as much as we can. Vegas, all those books, are already doing a bunch of the work trying to come up with statistics and with data that points to some sort of accurate information. Okay, what is this team going to do now that they look like this? So
right.
Warren Sharp's going based off that. I love it.
Yeah,
10th easiest schedule in the league, Chiefs.
10th easiest, yeah. I like that. I love that analogy. I like the way to look at it that way better than based on last season. And I'm glad somebody finally came up with something a little bit different for ways to kind of check this things out. So I think it really is cool that we're seeing that as a way to basically kind of reevaluate the way that we look at strength of schedule. We have changed something so dramatically. I hope this picks up. I really do. I hope we see more and more folks say, you know what? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to start looking at it based on what we project you to do, because the folks in Vegas have a pretty good idea.
Yeah, they're pretty good at this.
They're pretty darn good at everything they do. Coming up here on 96.5 The Fan, a pretty bad loss still has Mac upset, and it's been going on for years. We'll see if he can get over it next.
This is Fesco and Dusty.
Brett Veach has the most underrated chest I've ever seen.
On your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
I think as I've become older, I've become more like Max generation. And what I mean by that, this, and correct me if I'm wrong, okay? Because you don't know where I'm going with this, because I don't even really know where I'm going with this at this point in time. But no, but correct me if I'm wrong. Your generation, and I envy this and I've embraced this, at least this is the way I think. You guys love experiences, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your generation is the generation of experiences. You'd rather go somewhere and see something than buy a shirt.
Totally.
Or have a possession, right?
Yes, yes.
You'd rather have the opportunity to see something you've never seen before and do something that seems kind of cool. You want that experience, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we're doing with our kids. We don't buy a lot of stuff, but we'll give them the experiences that they want, whether it's a concert, it's a vacation. I want to give my kids as many experiences as they can have. And as we started doing that for them and listening to you and finding out the younger generation is all about experiences, I'm like, yeah, that's where I am too. I don't spare an expense now when it comes to some sort of experience that I want to do because I want to see what this is all about. I want to have that opportunity. Like, nothing makes me more jealous than Alex swimming with the dolphins. I'm not kidding.
Oh,
like,
yes,
how
I want to
cool
do that.
Would
yes.
that be? What a great experience to
so
do something
cool.
like that, right? You went to Spain. I am so envious of that experience that you got. I talked to a buddy of mine yesterday. He's getting ready to go to Spain and Portugal. I'm like, damn.
Dude.
He's like, I'll send you a scouting report. I'm like, I need that. I want to go Spain. Like, experiences, man. That sounds so cool to go out there and do something like that. And the reason I bring this up is because as we see the international games being, you know, placed out there, Jacksonville has tweeted their, you know, international games out. And they're playing back-to-back weeks in London. And we know they're
always
doing the stadium, you know, redo down there now. So there's some, you know, movement that can happen. And they've never really had a great fan base down there in Jacksonville. So they were willing to go over there and be the guinea pig and play a couple of games over there every single year. But I got to be honest with you. This kind of looks like a cool experience, Mac. I'm not going to lie. 2 weeks in a row in London, you stay there for a week, basically. And you experience London for a week, which is an experience I've been telling you about. I want to do.
You have, yeah.
I want to go immerse myself for a week in London and
be
just
sick.
Live there and,
oh,
and be
awesome.
Just do that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Right? I don't know why. I just think it would be cool. And then to have back-to-back games where you play, you watch a team play the Eagles and Tottenham, and then you go the next week to see them play the Texans in Wembley. That I think would be a cool experience.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, it's Jacksonville. But so what? They're going to be a pretty good team.
I was going to say, they'd be better. Yeah.
Right? They're going to be a pretty good team this year.
Fun players.
And they've got their kind of mark in London. That's kind of become London's team.
Yeah.
But how cool of an experience would that be? Not to go watch Jacksonville or Houston or Philadelphia, but just to have that experience of being there all week and watching those two games and having what that final experience is like of seeing our major sport being played on the international stage. Because I think it's going to be really cool, man. I think that would be really cool to do that. And if the Chiefs were playing, I'd want to go do that too.
Oh my gosh, yes, that would be fantastic. And yeah, I would do this even with the Jags. I think just that sort of experience, immersing yourself in that culture. I will say it'd be fun to do that even if the football team wasn't there. I would love to just go to London for a
right.
week.
Like,
yeah,
this
no matter
gives
what.
You that reason
exactly.
to go.
It gives
you
that whole excuse. And also it's going to give you seeing football in another country would be kind of cool to just to see, all right, how does their culture go about it. We know how it is here in Kansas City. It's life or death. It's everything. I'm kind of curious to see how it would be there. How's the tailgating? Is there tailgating? What do they do? I don't know. It'd be fun.
Well, all these stadiums in these cities are in the city. You know, the cities have, you know, spruced up around them. I'm sure there's a lot of beer that gets drank at these pubs outside the stadiums, and everybody has a good time. I mean, I remember when the Chiefs went over there, I remember images of Clark pouring beers out of the tap and doing all that kind of stuff. So they have their party time. They do it, you know. You look at these soccer stadiums, too, and I know Speck got to do that. Another experience that I would like to do. I'm not a huge EPL fan, but Ryan and I from Cactus have talked about going over there, just going to a game, because we want to have that experience, you know. We want to see that. Spectre got to do that. These stadiums that these teams play in, they're like in the middle of these villages, and you walk up to the stadium like there's no tailgating because there's no cars.
Exactly. Just
I wonder if
walking.
They know what tailgating is over
like,
there.
What are you doing? Yeah.
Honest to God, I wonder if in Europe, that if you said, are you guys going to tailgate before the game, they have any idea what we're talking
about.
What are
you doing?
Tailgate.
Go to the pub and have a beer.
Walk to the game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that is true.
The whole way of experiencing sports differently through the lens of the locals, you know, it's fun. It's different. It's unique. And so I think that would be really a cool experience. All right. You're down bad, man. Like, you are down bad. What happened to you yesterday?
This took me into a nightmarish past experience. I think honestly that Bengals loss in the AFC Championship is up there, but this loss, I was just 15, 16 years old. I was at a Buffalo Wild Wings. I had just gotten my license, at least maybe in the last year. So it was still, I remember it still being cool to drive places by myself. So okay. I was with my oldest brother, Sean. I was meeting him and probably some of his buddies to watch this game at B-Dubs. And I remember being like, this is cool. I'm going to drive there. I'm going to watch this Chiefs game. It's going to be awesome. Screw Peyton Manning. Screw the Broncos. And man, it was tied. It was going to go to overtime. Then this happened.
Touchdown.
27-27. We run a draw just to waste the rest of the clock. It's 20-something seconds left in the game. And Bradley Roby picks it up off of Jamal Charles, my favorite Chief of all time at the time and still now, picks up a Jamal Charles fumble off a draw and takes it to the house. And then they cut to Peyton Manning smiling, who I didn't hate an athlete more at that time as a child. And I just remember sobbing and walking out of that B-Dubs. Sean didn't even get to say a word to me. I was just left crying. I was just so upset. But that's how emotional I was back in the day. So
yeah,
that's
and that's a regular season game. That's your
yes.
Like that's a game in September. And as the caption says, last time the Broncos won at Arrowhead in September.
Boom.
What were the Chiefs doing on that play, by the way?
Yeah,
it's tied at 24 with 30 seconds left and you're at your own 20-yard line.
Yeah, 24-24. Thank you.
What are we doing in that situation? Are we just running out the clock?
Yeah,
I mean, if so, take a knee at that point in time. That's Alex Smith, right?
Yeah,
so that's an Andy team.
Yeah, that was Andy. No, that was Andy. That was 2015.
That was 2015. Right? And the next night, I think the Royals did something we all forgot about that game. If I'm not mistaken, like that was an early game and the Royals were on their run.
You're right.
Because I'm looking at this 2015. I'm like, oh, that's the year they started 1-5 and then ripped
and
off
then,
11 in a row.
Yes.
So that was the beginning of that season. And I'm looking at that. I'm going, oh, I do vaguely remember that. Oh, 2015. We were focused elsewhere.
Yeah, we weren't exactly locked in.
Nobody really cared at that point in time what was going on, you know, at Arrowhead because of what was going on at Kauffman Stadium at that time. But I think if you're talking about like the for you, that's like the worst loss. The worst loss is pretty simple. It's the Indy playoff loss. I mean, you're up 28-0 in that game or whatever it was. And losing, you know, that football game. That's hard to do, guys.
It's literally very impressive
that they still lost that game. It's one of the more impressive things I've ever seen, actually. Quite honestly, it is. It's one of the more impressive. How you blow a 28-point lead in the second half or whatever. Unbelievable. Just an unbelievable game. But when we had Marlins man on yesterday and we were talking to him, he brought up that Pittsburgh game. And that was one, too, that was like, that's just the stank of the Chiefs at that point in time, right? That's where the "see, I told you" guy could come out of the woodwork and be right. We didn't give up a damn touchdown and lost a damn game. How?
Well, we're the Chiefs, so we figure out ways to do that.
Exactly.
Yeah, you just get used to it.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you get used to that. But that stank should be gone now because
it's gone.
You should
Don't
not
talk
have
about that.
You should not have that stank anymore when you are now a Chiefs fan because of all the good stuff that has taken place.
And that was from the text line. That was also the game that Eric Berry returned, which I forgot about that. That was the game Eric Berry came back for. So yeah, a lot of people remembering that game. 785 says I was there for that game. Then he also says people were yelling F Jamal leaving the stadium. That's too bad. But also that fumble sucks. The 816 says that exact Jamal Charles fumble sent me into a 2-day bender.
I mean, yeah. And look how far we've come.
Exactly right.
Damn Seriously, right. Look how far we've come since that Jamal Charles fumble. That was really the last time them Broncos have been relevant.
Yep.
Up until this year. You know, they had a 10-year gap where they were an irrelevant franchise. Everybody goes through those ebbs and flows, right? That's why you have to maximize the winning and try to minimize those losing seasons for as much as you possibly can. You never want to be in the middle of one of those losing seasons. They stink. They're awful. They're no good. I was having lunch yesterday, I told you, with my mentor, Mike McKenzie, and his daughter joined us, and they both had the chili at Maloney's. Very, very good chili. They raved about the chili. It was also 80 degrees. I'm like, I'm good. I don't need the chili today.
Yeah, not today.
But, you know, so I texted Rob. I said, the Hormel was good, man. I kid. But they love the chili. They're like, I got to have the chili at Maloney's. Got to have the chili. I'm like, all right, I'll have the chili, you know, eventually at some point.
Yeah.
And so we were kind of talking about just sports and, you know, and all that kind of stuff in general. And I want to ask you this question and you guys on the text line this question. And I want you to answer it for me because, again, it's one of these questions and topics of conversation. I'm not really sure how I would answer it. Right. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just such a thought provoking, I think, anyway, type of conversation. And we were talking about, you know, the transfer portal. And I will say this. I feel like, and maybe it's because I went there and I know people there and all that kind of stuff and we're here, but it feels like KU fans are down bad, right? With this portal stuff. I'm not going to be able to root for my team anymore. I miss my guys. I miss the, you know, Jacques and Paul and Rafe and Drew and all those guys that we used to rally around and form bonds with, right? You can get in on this conversation because you went to the University of Tennessee, and I'm sure you at that time had those bonds with maybe your football or basketball team. It seems like in college, the bonds happen for fans. They want to bond with those players,
sure,
right?
Yes.
And so that's obviously not going to be the case anymore, right? We're not bonding with these players, but nope. It just seems KU fans are down bad from that kind of experience. We'd love to watch them come in as freshmen and grow together. I mean, I was talking to Marlins man again yesterday. He's like, man, Frank Mason played 4 years and Sherron Collins played four years.
Love Sherron Collins.
You know, like, where's that anymore in college sports? And I'm like, yeah, it's gone.
It sucks. Just That part is sad.
It's just the way of the world. And I stole the old Seinfeld reference of we're just cheering for laundry. You know, at the end of the day, we're cheering for laundry. And that was like the late 80s, early 90s before we had all of this transient type stuff happening in sports. You know, a couple of free agents here or there, but it wasn't like it is today. But I want to know this. And I think maybe it would change your dynamic, but maybe not. How would you consume sports if the portal was the pros? And every year, 50% of your roster was turning over and guys were getting out and leaving and doing whatever they wanted. How would you feel if that all of a sudden came to the pros, which is where everybody at the end of every season is essentially a free agent? I don't know that we would have the same sports fandom that we have now.
I don't think we would.
I think it would be hard to do that.
I agree. I mean, I'm just thinking about me personally. I mean, Jamal Charles. I mean, I mentioned him in that story. I mean, that was my favorite Chief. If he were to only be there for a couple of years and then leave, I wouldn't have that connection.
Right.
I wouldn't have, like, bought his jersey. I wouldn't have two signed, like, little helmets of it. I wouldn't have grown this connection and this, like, infatuation. And almost
he helped you grow for the team.
100%. Oh, man. I learned everything. He was, like, my entry point, right? He was my entry. Obviously, like, Tony G. But then I fell in love with Jamal Charles. He was my guy and made me fall in love with Derek Johnson. I wanted to learn about all of our new draft picks. And it made me fall in love with the city, too, if you really want to talk about it, because that's what sports does. It makes you fall in love with just sport. And that we talked about that yesterday. It's more than just sports.
Yeah.
And Jamal Charles, yes, gave me that infatuation with the Chiefs, which made me fall in love with them even more. And then that segued and parlayed into a love of Kansas City, so much so that I made sure me and my future wife moved back here and raised a family here.
Okay, so would you have a different way? Like, would you still be a sports fan the way that you are? And I'm not just talking to you. I'm talking to the collective,
everyone,
all of us.
Yeah, of course.
Again, and I'm working through this because I don't know what the right answer is again. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'd rather have the discussion and have the conversation about how we would do this, because we were talking about it yesterday. Could you imagine in the pros if every year there was the portal and players could just enter the portal if they want? Now, I think over 50% of college basketball players entered the portal this year, right? I think like 52% or something was the number. Could you imagine 52% of baseball players every year entering the portal or entering in the NFL? 52% of the players every year changing teams? I mean, there would be a lot of people that would take a chance and not get rewarded, because I don't think everybody that goes into the portal is finding a new home at this point in time. And they're sure as hell not going back usually to where they came from. So I think if they did this in the pros, it would be a completely different beast. And I don't think it would be good for the pros. And I don't know how long necessarily it's going to be great for college either. There's going to have to be some rules and regulations finally put in. And we were talking about it yesterday. 2-year contracts.
Yep. I'm in on that.
One transfer.
Great.
Unless your coach leaves.
Unless your coach leaves, you get another one.
It's not that
I'm
hard.
I'm in on that. Yeah, that makes sense. That's perfect.
It's not that hard.
And
it
frankly,
really isn't.
4 years, let's say 5 with a red shirt or whatever. You don't need to go to more than max 3 schools. Like, and also,
yeah, that was the other part of our conversation. Who was the kid that played for Kansas that everybody fell in love with? Malcolm Gibson.
Melvin Council.
Yeah, right. That guy. And my buddy Mike's like, I think this is for school. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. It's at some point, it's like, okay, you've been here for 5 or 6 years. You've been to 4 different schools in 5 years. Like, it's also like, and I know this is going to get some eye rolls, but like, I do somewhat believe this. I think like we have almost a responsibility to, yes, we should pay these athletes because they aren't student athletes. They are athletes. They make a crap load of money for these schools and these universities and all the businesses and everything. Mm-hmm. So they should be paid. But we also have a right to...
That's a fair point, too. I didn't even think about that. How many businesses in town are just making ancillary dollars because people are coming to watch these kids play.
Yeah.
They're going to Bill's Cafe afterwards for dinner.
Of course.
Yeah,
they're flying to Utah to see AJ DeBanda, whatever it is, right? So I think we have a responsibility, though, to these young players to say... Hey, your decisions matter. Your consequences in life, there's consequences in life to your big decisions that you make, whether that's a job or a relationship or whatever it may be. Like, you can't just worry about, like, there's going to be ripple effects. So worry about yourself, but other things are going to happen and we're going to react to that. So when you choose to leave, you can't just go somewhere else. Like, you have to stick with what you did. You made a commitment.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a valuable lesson we teach these 18 and 19 year old kids.
You're right. I think that is a pretty good lesson. And that's why I want to have it more than 1 year. Like if you sign, let's say the Jayhawks signed Darren Peterson last year and they had to be 2 year deals and he wanted to leave early. Well, then the NBA has got to write a check to Kansas to buy him out, just like you have to do with coaches and that kind of stuff. Right.
And that would be the team that drafts him, right? Not the NBA.
Right. Yeah. The team that drafts him.
So
yeah,
like, the Wizards or whatever say, all right, we're paying KU $5 million. Yep.
Yeah. And,
okay.
And that's the way it works.
That makes sense.
You have to be bought out of your contract.
Yes.
And so that's the way that that works. And that forces you to make a better decision. It forces the kids to stay a little bit longer, the ability to build the team, the ability to give, I think, Mac, and not this is not always the best way to do it, but I think if you make them sign a two-year contract, you're giving the best of both worlds. The players are still able to make money. And the fans are still able to kind of form a relationship and develop that team bond that they wanted and they want back. And I think it is the college fan more that wants to bond with their team, maybe more so than in the pros. It just feels that way, maybe because people perceive them as kids more than the pros. But I think that's the way you can have the best of both scenarios. You give the players what they want to get paid, and you give the fans what they want, the ability to at least see these guys for a couple of years. And I think everybody wins. And I think you'd have a hard time finding people to complain about something like that. 2 year contract, one transfer, unless your coach leaves and then you get another transfer. It's not that hard. Let's make it that easy and everybody wins. I think anyway.
I agree. And I also think some of the biggest things we like in sports, to your point, is like, yes, it's the familiarity. It's that building that bond. But then after the bond and all that stuff's built, you built a legacy as well. And what fuels our sports conversation so much, it's talking about what's already happened. It's having arguments about the future and the legacy of someone. How do you have a legacy if you go to three different schools in 3 years? Like, it's just tough to build something like that each time you're starting anew. And we always talk about new offensive coordinators in the NFL and having to relearn a new language is the way you always put it.
Yeah.
I mean, shoot, man, you're going to a whole new school with a new coach and new players, a new camp. I mean, forget new language. That's a new life.
Yeah.
That's insane. And at 18, 19 years old, I just feel like we're losing this consistency. I think it's hurt not only the product on a wide scale for college basketball and basketball, but it's hurt individually. It's hurt these players. I don't think you can develop as well.
I think it's helping football, though, because it is keeping football players in school, which is it's forcing basketball players out of school, but it's keeping football players in school. Because, again, having a conversation yesterday, you're Mac Morey. You are a very good football player at the University of Alabama.
Oh, okay.
Okay, did that on purpose. Okay.
Dang it.
You are this really good football player out of the University of Alabama. You just finished your junior year. You got some people talking to you. They're in your ear. They're saying, hey, man.
I'm the QB.
You could be a third round draft pick the draft this year if you come out early.
Nice.
And you look around and you go, I'm making more right now at Alabama than what a third round draft pick is going to make in the NFL.
Yeah, and I'm in college.
I'm staying.
Sorry.
I am going to stay.
Get bent.
And so you're going to see guys stay in college a little bit longer, give you another year of development, and then once they get to the NFL isn't drafting kids anymore that are 21 years old. Now you're getting a guy that's 22 or 23 years old who has another experience, a year of experience of playing the college level.
Yeah.
That's better for the pros.
It's way better.
It's so much better. Think about baseball. Baseball's the one that could hurt. We may see the talent level in baseball actually go down. Because what the SEC is paying these guys, or the Big 12 is paying these guys now, letters of intent, NIL money, National Image and Likeness, whatever it's called.
Name, Image, Likeness, yep.
You're getting more money at these colleges now and better facilities and better treatment than you are when you get drafted. And so kids are going to stay in college. They're going to make some NIL money. And I've heard from scouts all over baseball, there's a lot of kids right now that have made $4 or $5 million playing in the SEC. They're good.
Yeah, they're great.
They're good. They're not going to go to the minor leagues and toil in Bozeman, Montana, and ride a bus to Kalamazoo, Michigan,
and make way less.
And make $25 a day or whatever it is. When I was just playing in the SEC, I played 4 years. I made $4 or $5 million. It's in the bank, and I'm going to go work in finance in Dallas.
Yeah. I'm going to call it good.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to take that, because baseball is the toughest sport probably to make the major. I'm not going to take that 1% chance to crawl my way up in double A and then the triple A. I've got five in the bank, and I'm going to just go, yeah, I get that. That's a good point. Yeah. That makes sense.
You know?
That makes sense.
I've got this money. I'm not riding on a school bus through the night to go play in a wood bat league in Pocatello, Idaho. Like, that's just not there anymore.
No.
You've made your money in college. Yeah, $4 or $5 million. Maybe you could make more money in the pros, but at what cost? And how much money are you leaving on the table by not starting your finance career or whatever you want to do immediately after college? Yeah, you can go play baseball, make 20 grand or something for the summer,
yeah,
ride buses, put yourself in a slump, feel miserable, or you can just go get a real job, you know? So I think baseball may be the one that starts to see some of the talent pool dissipate a little bit, because the college kids are going to be making some big money. Because, as you know, Mac, you went to an SEC baseball school. It's important down there.
Big deal. Big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
you talk to kids that play at Arkansas, and then they go to their first minor league gig.
You're like, what? Where's everybody?
Yeah, where's every, like, Arkansas is like this unbelievable, and then you're going to these, and it's like such a letdown, I would imagine.
It's not an event. It's not something that people
are talking
about.
It's like the only sport
that
doesn't get more exciting when you get to the pros.
It's true. Yeah, it probably gets way late. Yeah, it's such a letdown. That's true. You've got to, like, temper your expectations and be patient. Man, it's obviously such a mental game, baseball, but I've never thought about it from that perspective. Man, that would suck. I don't know what it is about basketball specifically. I think it's just the sport itself that it gives these players the false thought that, oh, I can go change something. There's only five players on the court. I can score 20 games. I can go be the reason that we go win. So these guys move more. Maybe that's why it is. But in baseball and football, you're right. They're staying longer in college, but they're not moving teams as much as basketball. It's not.
Basketball is just out of control.
And I just think I don't know. I mean, I know it's money and stuff, and this is happening in the NBA. These guys just maybe think because of the way the sport is, oh, I can go change. I can go change this team.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can go win over here.
Yeah, it's
less
also,
factors? I don't know.
It's also the grass is greener syndrome. You feel like you're missing out if you're not doing it. We're talking about all the people in the portal, not the people who decide to stay, you know? There's some people that have decided to stay at their. We're not talking about them. We're talking portal. It gets the attention. It's the drug, if you will, of college athletes these days.
Yep.
Everybody talking about it. And who doesn't want to be recruited and loved? Wouldn't you love to say, hey, I'm available. Come up, make me your best offer.
And then people and actually people, did it.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Because Mac and I are saying, we're available. Come make us your best offer. Nobody shows up.
And no one cares.
Nobody cares, right? But if you're a basketball player at the college level, you say, make me, and all of a sudden you feel that love. You get that dopamine high of everybody loving on you.
No, I'm sure like Flory Badunga felt awesome those couple weeks.
Yeah.
Everyone was courting him, and he's the best center in college. He's like, damn, this feels good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's human nature.
I get it.
People want to be loved. People want to be liked. People want to feel good. And if somebody's begging you to come and they're telling you how great they are, who doesn't need, again, I'll use the dopamine high. Who doesn't want that?
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't want that shot of adrenaline? We've all had that before. You've all had that high when somebody's done something good for you, or somebody's nice to you, or somebody helps you. You feel great. You're like, wow, that made me feel awesome. Think about going around the country and having all the top coaches call you and tell you how good you are.
That'd be awesome.
That's cool. That's really cool. Coming up here on 96.5 The Fan, we got one guy that is all in on the Chiefs. We'll tell you who that is next.
Hey, it's Vinny Pasquantino, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. 96.5 The Fan.
All right, bro, get over to the microphone and open it, and I want your reaction when I read this stat.
Woo,
all right.
Okay.
You ready?
Hit me.
All right. It's from FanDuel, and it says the NBA won't be the same without LeBron James. And it's two pictures of LeBron. And it says LeBron James as a human, okay, his whole life, as a human being. 23 years in the NBA, 18 not.
23 years. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
He's played more years in the NBA in his life than he hasn't. I mean, my God, how cool is that?
That's so cool.
How awesome is
wow.
that?
Wow. I was like, what do you mean? Oh, my.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. In by that, 5 years.
Yeah, by 5 years. That's I hope he so keeps cool. going just for that. Like, that's the stuff that gets me excited. Amazing. You know, like, that's really cool. Those are the stats that I like.
God, dude. This guy, that's incredible. What a spectacle. That's amazing.
I mean, we talk a lot of crap on LeBron James.
Yes. Yes, we do.
And he is as disrespected an athlete as there's ever been.
True.
And I do believe that's not hyperbole.
No, I completely agree.
LeBron James is the most disrespected athlete of all time. And I'm guilty as that. We all are.
Oh, same.
He's
big time guilty.
He's disrespected not because of who he is. He's disrespected because of number 23.
Yeah, because of the standard that was set before him. Yes,
right.
and trying to
live up to that. I hope we don't get into that category with Patrick Mahomes.
I know. Probably will. Probably
and,
already
and,
are.
And are you talking nationally? Are you talking
nationally,
locally?
Or nationally, you,
because,
we already are, yeah.
I mean, like again, look, we love it. LeBron puts himself out there. He's very present all the time. He has comments on everything. Like, LeBron has owned who he is, and I love him for that. Like, I really do. I'm a huge yeah. fan of LeBron James. It's the only NBA jersey I've ever purchased.
Oh, there you go.
You know?
Cavs so, or?
Cavs. Oh, nice. Yeah, back in the day.
Back then, yeah.
You know, because my in-laws were from Cleveland, so I'm like, oh, okay, LeBron.
LeBron James.
Got an
why
opportunity.
Not? Come on.
You know,
yes,
right? It's cool.
You got a connection.
It's fun, right? So, but 23 years in the NBA as a player, as a person, 18 years of his life not in the NBA. 23 years of his life in the NBA, 18 awesome. Years of his life out of the NBA.
So
it's
cool.
crazy. It shows you how big a figure he is and shows you how much he has done, you know, for this league. It's wild, man.
It's
and
incredible.
That's what I'm saying. I hope we don't get there with Patrick Mahomes where we are disrespect, not we, because I will never disrespect that man, but people, you know, nationally, you know, the FanDuel account that we saw today or whoever puts tweets out, not that FanDuel's respect. That's a great tweet. I love that tweet
what
by
was the
FanDuel.
Tweet?
It is the NBA won't be the same without
oh, that
LeBron
tweet.
James.
Yes, 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 yeah. yes, yes, sorry.
LeBron James is a human. 23 years in the NBA, 18 years not in the NBA.
What
great
the hell
tweet.
Was that?
But I hope we don't start to see that kind of stuff on Patrick Mahomes, you know, where people are like, well, he wasn't Tom Brady.
Tom Brady.
Yeah, you know, all that kind of stuff. I hope we don't get to that level where we're disrespecting him.
Seriously.
Right?
No, I'm so in on that. That is such a cool stat. And to think that it's not even like he's a bench player and he doesn't play. Like, he's a starter. He's still really good. He's still conducive to winning basketball.
Yeah.
Pretty incredible.
It is, man. It is unique. It is awesome. We got a guy that's on our side, right? When it comes to the Chiefs, huh?
Yeah. We were talking Irby? Yesterday about how hype we are about this Chiefs team and how people are sleeping. Kirk, he's not asleep.
I'm excited about Kansas City. I think it's almost as if people have maybe felt that that's the end. You know, because of the injury to Mahomes, because of some of the losses that they've had, you know, is it time for Kansas City's story to be over? And I don't obviously, I don't think it is. I think anytime you question Patrick Mahomes, you know, he's going to come out swinging. And I think that's kind of how it is right now with where Kansas City is.
Kirk
he's
gets
right.
it. Yeah,
he's right. Like
yep.
everybody who has watched this play out in front of us for these last 10 years is on that Kirk Herbstreit bandwagon. I think the only people, quite honestly, that are doubting Mahomes are the haters and losers. And those are Bronco Raiders and Charger fans. They're all haters and losers, every one of them.
Yeah.
And those are the ones who are saying, because they're not using fact by saying it. They're saying it out of hope. Hey, Mahomes
exactly.
isn't going to be there. And they go, I hope this guy isn't there.
Yes. Yes, it's that guy in the movie who's like, I'm standing up to the big bully, and then he gets back to his friends. He talks about how he was about to pee his pants or
yeah.
whatever. Like, that's what's happening right now with the division rivals. And maybe even Bill's very hopeful, I'm sure, that this is over.
And I've talked to Jimmy Gaffney a lot over this. He's not mentioning a thing about Mahomes. He's like, I know that guy will be back. The Bills fans get it. Bills
yeah.
fans are us.
Keep his name out of your mouth.
Yeah, no, but Bills fans are us, guys. We're the same people. You know, Midwestern town. Yes, Buffalo is the Midwest. It's closer to us than it is New York City. Midwestern, grassroots, you know, blue collar, work hard, want our team to win, didn't have success until recently. Buffalo ain't out there talking trash on us. They're out there kind of quiet going, All right. Could happen to us, too. We could lose our guy. We're not going to, like, I don't think Buffalo is playing in that. I think the people who are playing in the Patrick Mahomes isn't going to be back are the Denver fans first and foremost, followed by Charger, that one guy that's a Charger fan that they paid, and then the Raiders fans as well, because they know they're not quite ready to win just yet.
I think a lot of the doubt will not be coming in Mahomes' form. I think most people, even guys that I know that aren't Chiefs fans that are Chiefs haters, they know who Mahomes is. They're not doubting that. But I think a lot of people, the doubt will be coming from a roster standpoint. Like, oh, well, come on, that defensive line, you know, you kept the same wide receivers and you lost those two corners. What are you going to do? Who's Noel Williams? Yeah. Like, that's going to be it. Sure. It's going to take a month to go, oh, wait, Noel Williams is really good. That's their new Legarius Sneed. Oh, Monsieur Delane, wow, maybe Mitch Holtis was right. He does kind of look like Pat Surtain. And now all of a sudden, it's going to take a month. But I think that's where a lot of the doubt is, like, who are these guys? I don't know who Peter Woods is. Well, he's the best defensive lineman in the draft in 2025, and Clemson sucked and he dropped.
Right. And I think that's the right approach for all of us, quite honestly. I mean, we don't really know the ins and outs of every team,
totally.
Right? You know, and that's why we have bad beats. That's why people yeah. get beat all the time when you don't take the general public side of things. Because what you just said right there is the brilliant reason why, Mac, you don't side with the general public when it comes to gambling. Because what you just said there may be the most important thing for the gambler to hear. We think we know, but we don't.
We don't. Yeah.
And if somebody's putting money on the Chiefs right now with that 10.5 number, I guarantee you outside of our area, they're looking at that going, there's no way they're going to win 11 games this year. Mahomes is hurt. They have no wide receivers. Mm-hmm. Who do they have on defense? I'll take the under.
Yeah.
And then everybody's going to pound that under because of this is how it happens. Because at the end of the day, unless you're a diehard of your team, right, which we all are, you're just a casual sports fan for everybody else. And you really don't know the nuances. And so for me, when I look at it and I look at the 10.5, I'm a hard over on that because I know exactly what the Chiefs did and how they got better. I look at Denver and on the surface area stuff, I'm like, they didn't do anything this offseason to get better. But there may be some fans in Denver that are like, oh my God, we added this guy. We improved this position. We got better here. Stuff that we just don't follow because it's the minutia. It's the 52nd man on the roster or whatever it is. But here in Kansas City, we know all about that. So that's where I think, you know, you get the gambling public is because they don't focus on all of that stuff that we're focused on here in Kansas City.
Yep.
Coming up, we're going to talk to the manager of the Royals. Mac Quatrero joins us next.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.